David is with me on the line today. David, tell us about the issue that you're facing at the moment.
I'm facing eviction for the second time in 2 years, and as being an older renter heading to the age of 65, my partner 60, it's not easy to find anything within our budget. We were initially evicted in 2022 after living in one home for 11 years and found out the landlord there wasn't registered. He was also letting it out before that. And we didn't have, you know, we did so much to that property at the time.
In terms of doing it up and the upkeep, David, is it?
Yeah. And I mean, if we asked him to do anything, he just said, oh, I'm going to set up, and then rent increases followed. So, I mean, and with the first eviction, he didn't even engage with us. We just got a letter shoved in the door from the estate agent. That was our first indication of setting up. So then we moved to our current home, inverted commas, in April of 2022. Now, we'd been looking. We'd had a six, 9 months eviction notice from the previous property, and we literally had 2 weeks left. And one of my colleagues at work came up to me. Have you found anywhere yet? No. He went, here's a phone number. This guy has an apartment. Now, the building is separate from the landlord's property, but we're literally 20 feet apart. And we have, you know, we have windows, so he can look in and, you know, make derogatory comments. Oh, you're sitting there watching telly. No, we don't put the we don't even bother watching TV through the day.
And sorry, is this the place that you're currently in, David?
This is the place I'm currently in. Yeah. I mean, as I say, we literally had 2 weeks to get out of the previous place. It was better. Right, okay. What choice do we have? We'd just put down our dog. She was old. So looking for a property that allowed dogs at the time, that wasn't an issue. And we went, let's do it.
Okay, so in terms, David, of the properties that you're looking at the moment, it's just that within your budget you can't get one that's available, is that right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't earn a great amount of money. At the moment, I'm paying half my month's wages in rent. When we first moved in, he was charging just over €1,000, and that was with an ecstasy included.
Yeah.
But he's actually put that rent up now twice since we've moved in of
April. It's gone up twice.
2022. Yeah. But he's an illegal landlord. There's not a lot we can do. That's electricity included, so we can't even get a rebate on our electricity bill. We can't claim rent credit because he's an illegal landlord. So we're missing out on all this as well.
And you've nobody in terms of being able to report it to the Residential Tenancies Board, obviously, if he's not registered with them.
Well, see, this is the problem. If he's not registered...
Well, I'm assuming he's not, if you're saying he's...
He's an illegal landlord. So he's not registered, which means that if we did report him, the harassment and aggravation we're getting at the moment would only get worse. If we were to report him to revenue, again, that would only get worse. You know, I mean, he's just been pressuring. 3 days after he gave us the eviction notice, have you found anywhere yet? No, but we're looking.
Tell me a little bit about that. Tell me a little bit about that search, David, and what that search is like. As you mentioned, yourself and your partner are both in your 60s. What are the, like, what's out there when you're going to look at properties?
Nothing. Simply nothing. So we live in North County Dublin, and at the moment I'm living maybe 10, 15 minutes away from work, 10 minutes. So we're having to look around North County Dublin, meet the mouth borders, that's within a reasonable travelling time for me to get into work, get home, and be able to have some sort of decent sleep, I suppose. And it is tough. There's nothing. There is nothing out there. I've been on all the websites, been on to estate agents. I even knocked on a house last night because I've been going past, and garden's getting more overgrown, So I knocked on the next door neighbour. I said, "Is this property, you know, for rent?" Mm. And she actually, the guy came out, very nice guy, said, "No, I'm actually living here." But he didn't take any offence to that. And that's what I'm having to do at the moment. I'm going around, when we're out driving, that property looks a bit untense. That property looks a bit.
So you're just going around knocking on doors nearly now?
I'm now going around knocking on doors.
Asking if properties are available.
To find somewhere to live.
Have you contacted the local council?
I contacted local council, and their response was, unless I get a letter from the illegal, from the landlord, and I explained he was illegal, so they didn't seem to hear that bit, illegal, there's nothing they can do.
So you need a letter from the landlord to say that you're being evicted.
Yeah, and he won't do that because one of the first things he said to us when we moved in, he doesn't want anything to do with social welfare because he's an illegal landlord. He doesn't want anyone finding out what he's doing.
And I presume that the stress of all of this, David, just finally on you and your partner. I presume it's very, very stressful time for you.
It is very, very stressful. To be quite honest, and me and my partner, although she doesn't want to come on the show, yeah, the tension gets to us, and it affects our relationship as well. Because there'll be days where all right, he's coming. Let's pretend to laugh. Ha, 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 ha. And I'm sort of like, I don't want to laugh. I want to.
Yeah, so you think there's sort of the comments that you feel are derogatory. Yeah. Okay. David, it's a difficult situation. There's no doubt about it for yourself and your partner. A listener here suggesting report the landlord to the RTB, the Residential Tenancies Board. If he's not registered, then, you know, the couple can't be evicted. Another listener says, we moved back to Ireland from the US. It took close to 4 months to find a place. The cheapest we could find in Ireland was $3,250 per month plus bills. Was a two bed, 85 square metres. Rent prices are just absolutely crazy. The supply is non-existent. More people now renting a bed in a room at this stage. That's David's story. David, listen, thank you for getting in touch with us and sharing your experience with us on the programme today. Look, the email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com if you want to get in contact with us. That's what our next listener did. And my producer, Dee King, is with me today in studio. Dee, we were chatting about this story today from one listener, an email that came in, and it's about navigating difficult playdates.
Yeah, we got a great but anonymous email in that sparked up such a good conversation with us. We thought it's worth reading out anyway and just getting people's reaction to. So here's the email. Can someone tell me how to navigate difficult play dates? I had a child who who we'd had a previous experience with at a birthday party, over for a play date recently. I was a little anxious about having her over, but her mum asked, so I thought, why not? The day was so difficult. I could not please the child at all. Her demands around food and drink were off the charts. She demanded what games and toys she wanted to play with. I couldn't even get her to compromise with my child. She asked at one point if she could speak to me privately. She's 9. I could not please her. It was such a long day and one neither I or my child ever want to go through again. When her mum asked how the play date went, all I could say was it went great.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm doing something wrong, so I just thought I'd ask your listeners, how do they navigate these things?
Yeah, I haven't a clue how you navigate. Maybe you just don't ask the child back again. Is that fair in the child though? I don't know.
Keep coming up with excuses, be busy all the time. I don't know.
Busy forever and ever. 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. Katie Mack from the Opinions Matter podcast is on the line. Katie, have you any advice for our listener, or can you settle this?
Well, I was thinking before I actually heard the full email there, I was kind of thinking, oh, it's not fair to just not invite the kid back, but that child sounds like an absolute nightmare. So I'd be inclined to be of the mind to make up excuses not to have them back. You know, kids can be difficult sometimes, it's in their nature, you know what I mean? But when you have a child who's just out and out bold and is not agreeable for anything, that's very hard to navigate. But if I were the mother in this situation, I would have definitely said it to the other mother.
Would you?
I think you have to be straight. Ah, yeah. I'd say, look, nothing was flying today. I'd kind of pull it off. I'd kind of push it off nearly, like, I don't know if they're off form or if this is like them usually, but it was a bit of a difficult couple of hours. I think I'd have to say it because I would want to know if it were my child. If it got physical, I think that would be another story, because I've always told my kids, hit back.
Really?
Regardless of it. Oh, yeah.
Suggestion of anything like that. I think it was just, I kind of read the email earlier and just thought the child was being a bit of a madam now, but, you know, I mean.
Yeah, so you see, some kids are just, it's going to sound bad me saying, but some kids are just spoiled brats. They want everything their own way. The parents are afraid to say no to them because they don't want to upset little Johnny or Mary. And that shows then in the classroom or outside the house, and we're only starting to navigate play dates and that kind of since my son started school, and they can be, because you can sometimes have a child who's difficult, and it's kind of about, you know, encourage them, you share this and then you can take turns, blah blah blah, but that child just sounds like an out and out nightmare.
There was no sharing. It's the same way as we chat sometimes and people tell us about the birthday parties and how difficult they can be, you know, the politics of the kids' birthday parties, but are play dates, are they can they be an issue? Are they problematic at times?
The thing I find difficult with the play dates, it's not the kids, sometimes it's the parents. You can have a parent, you know, on a play date, and it's like, you know, the majority of play dates I've been on have been absolutely fine, not a problem. But you can have the odd parents who are really pushy, and they're nearly more difficult than the kids.
Really?
You know, like texting every 5 minutes. Now, I know parents worry and stuff like that, or like there's a strict rules of what they can and can't have. And look, I'm a parent myself, I get it. But sometimes navigating play dates is more difficult because of the parents than the kids.
Some of my friends tell me there's huge competition with play dates. You know, how you entertain them and what they're doing on the play date. Like, I have friends who tell me.
Oh, God, mine
some of them
is very simple.
Over
like,
into the playroom.
For a play or I would be weird about taking other people, especially kind of 4 or 5 years old, taking them out and stuff, because they're still young. You need car seats and stuff like that. They're still small. It's easier to take out older kids and entertain older kids. So it's either kind of play center or in the house. But then it's how you navigate it with a parent. Yeah, like my thing would be how you navigate it with a parent that's difficult, because obviously you don't want your kid to lose out on the friendship or the play with the other child. But when some parents can be a nightmare to deal with.
Is it difficult to navigate play dates, James, in your experience? Stay with us, Katie.
Hello, yes.
How are you?
Not too bad. I see, the thing about the situation is this, that the parent was absolutely right to have an issue with how her child was being treated, because you want to sort of, imply that the child when they grow up and whether they have friends or they have even family or workplaces, you don't want them to think it's acceptable to be pushed around and coerced and there's no compromise from, you know, from the other person, and they always have to sort of put up with it. And that can even extend into when they're older and they have partners that are, you know, whether it's a man with a wife who's pushy or a wife with a husband who's pushy, it doesn't really matter. It's not a good lesson that you want your child to think is okay. In terms of dealing with the child, the best thing you can do in a lot of situations is minding your own business, in terms of you can't parent the other child. If the child's parent thinks it's okay to allow their child to conduct themselves like that, it's really not up to you to change their parenting style. The best thing to do would be to try and distance yourself and distance your child from that child. And then you can hope that when your child grows up, they can make better decisions with their friends in the future,
so
when they get a bit of independence.
Don't ask them back over again, James.
Yes. And maybe, you know, try and push, not tell the child who to be friends with, but you want to try and show them there are good people to be friends with and there are bad people to be friends with. When that's younger, bad people to be friends with are ones who are like that, who are, you know, spoiled, who are entitled and whatnot. And when they get older, it's ones who are perhaps interested in drugs and, you know, antisocial behavior. And you sort of have to hope that when they're the age where they can make their own decisions and they're independent, that you've taught them the right lessons. And that starts from a young age, when you're saying this person maybe isn't the best one to be friends with. And you still have input when the child is younger, and you should still have input, because at the end of the day, they don't know as much as they do when they get a bit independence.
Do you, Eric, would you tell, you know, a parent if you had their kid over for a play date with one of your children, would you tell the parent how it went if it didn't go well?
It would depend, I suppose, on how well the parent and how good friends the children are. So if it was the first visit and it didn't quite go as you'd expect or as would be expected, you might bite your lip and see what way it went. But if it happened two or three times, you'd either discreetly push them away, or if something unacceptable happened, obviously you tell them. But generally, no one likes telling a parent that their child is awkward. Do you know what I mean? There's no one listening here that would like to do that. So you try and think of more of nicer ways of kind of moving them.
It didn't go great.
Yeah, it didn't go great. But you try and soften it.
They probably have to start telling the parent then, though, that they're, you know, that, like, how problematic it was with their child. You know, I can understand for this listener, it's probably easier to just say nothing. The parents are probably well aware of what the child's like.
Oh, yeah, I coach young children in football, and there are all sorts of children out there. There are some mad hyper ones, and there's some so that are so quiet they wouldn't debut to a ghost, and there's everything in between. I suppose a lot will depend on how good friends, if your child and the child came for a visit, if they're really good friends in school, and if it works out, if it's working well in other environments, you've got to keep in mind, sometimes when a child comes to a house for the first time, it's a new experience. They might be playing with brand new toys. They might be coming from their own house. They mightn't have the same type of, maybe they might have their own bedroom, or they mightn't have their own whatever toy they're playing with. So some children get very excited when they're in a new house for the first time, and it's all a brand new experience. And maybe they just have a little bit of trouble containing those emotions. So that's why I would wait. I would see if it happens two or three times
again.
If it happens again, and then there's obviously an issue there, and then you can judge. Do you want the child and your child to be friends, or is it just more hassle than it's worth? And or does your child have a large group of friends? If your child has 6 or 7 or 10 friends that they like,
but if they don't,
exactly. So you got to there's many different variables that you got to keep in mind. There's no right or wrong answer to this.
Yeah.
You just got to see but ultimately it's about what's best for your child. And if your child is not enjoying the experience, well then you got to cut it. But if your child is okay with it, or maybe even using it as a learning experience. Because as a parent afterwards, you can talk to them about, oh, look, that child might be a bit autistic, or they might have emotional needs or whatever. And you can kind of help them that way and encourage them along too. But ultimately, you keep your own child as number one. That needs to be the priority. Or
right.
That would be my ultimate priority.
Yeah. A listener here says, I think this is kind of similar to the point you were making. Listeners suggesting that really for play dates, people should go somewhere with the children and their parents. playground or soft play centres are ideal. This way it's a lot easier. You have a lot of space to run around. Like, I imagine the idea of the play date is that, you know, you're getting a break for a couple of hours and you have the opportunity then to, you know, request the return date so you can have a few hours someday as well. Is that not the benefit of them?
Yeah, but I can see the benefit of having the other parent there, so you're not the one who has to kind of, you know, I suppose, give out to someone else's child or, you know, try to put manners on. So, because at the end of the day, it's, you know, your child, if your child's a brat, that's not my problem. But like your previous caller said, you know, you also want your kid to be with nice friends and to see, because kids learn from what they see. And if I had a child over who was difficult, I wouldn't want my kids to kind of, you know, see that and think, oh, well, I'm going to start behaving like that. But I know what he was saying, that, you know, you can't really say to parents, people are precious about their kids. And I understand that. But like, I would rather know if my child was on a play date and was acting up and being difficult, I would be annoyed if I thought that the parent was like, oh yeah, everything was fine, yeah, and then fobbed us off in the future, rather than being honest. So I think honesty is the best policy. I think if there's a child that's difficult, you're better off just being honest.
Avril is on the line in Cork. Avril, tell us about your experience with the politics of play dates.
Well, for me, if I have a difficult child or an unruly child, I'd be kind of like, if they were bouncing on the couch, which I won't let my son do, I just say, oh no, we don't do that here at all in this house, you know. And they usually listen, they really do. I would never tell a parent, oh my god, they were just crazy and they were bouncing off the walls and they, you know, were disrespectful in my home or whatever. I wouldn't. I just wouldn't ask them back, full stop. That's, I don't want my child hanging around with an unruly child, so I just won't have them back. And I'll make an excuse, you know, a few times after, and I'll just say, oh no, we're going to Nanny's in Tipperary or wherever. And I just hate confrontation anyway.
Yeah.
So I just let it slide like that, and then that's the end of that.
Say nothing. Yeah, the child's You know, it's funny, I was actually reading an article, Avril, in The Sun about this just a couple of days ago. Now, it's The Sun, I should say, in the UK, right? But it was about one particular mum who's now charging other parents for play dates. So it was £4 for clay, there was £2 for ice creams. Naturally, she got a huge backlash to this, you know, but she was sort of charging kind of £5 to cover the cost of the play date, because she was like, I'm not going to pay for your child and entertaining your kid for the day. And I just thought it was a fascinating concept. Can you imagine if people were to start charging here?
Oh my God, that would be just chaotic, wouldn't it? It would be like the backlashes, right? You'd get a fierce backlash. What I have seen, though, down through the years, because my eldest daughter is 15, is that play dates, an awful lot of them go to like Monkey Maze now and, you know, Bounce Zone and all that.
Yeah.
And they go and take them out of the house for the day. Because obviously, if you have a play date with two or three children, they make your house. You know what I mean? They absolutely destroy it. They pull everything out. I'm sorry, I work too hard. I don't want to be cleaning up after your child. So it's kind of like, yeah, let's go to Monkey Maze. And then you can kind of get out of the play date a little bit, because you can say, oh yeah, I collect them at 11 and I'll drop them back at 2:30. So you're not left with them all the day. Because I've got caught with that. I'd say, oh yeah, can't you drop them over around lunchtime? And they'd say, oh, what time will we collect? And I'd be like, in the afternoon sometime. And they'd say,
oh, put a timeline on it.
And I'm like, oh yeah, grand. And then you're feeding them. Then you're feeding them for lunch and you're feeding them for dinner and they don't like it. And it's all stressful. I hate it.
Yeah, I have to say the WhatsApps are coming in now in their droves. Like this, you see, this is what happens when you open the can of worms like this. Obviously, the play dates and navigating the politics of it is something that goes on privately in the parents' WhatsApp groups. Eric,
absolutely.
I have no doubt. Do you think it would ever work if people were to start charging here, Eric?
I can't imagine making. Yeah, let's invite over 10 of them, make a big pile of money.
Yeah.
No, it's not worth the hassle. When kids come over to my children, you bring them over maybe at 2, just so they've had their lunch in their own house, and you send them home. You say, can you pick him up by 5 or something, 4:30 or 5? You set a time limit. You invite them over, and you let the kids. I'm not there. I have enough to be doing. I'm not there to play with kids. So they go off and do their own thing. They play in their bedroom or whatever.
Yeah, strict timeline.
No lunches, but like that lady was saying there, I don't want to be dealing with some child who doesn't like butter or mayonnaise or white bread or brown bread or God knows what. So like 2 o'clock start, 5 o'clock finish, and
good luck.
And good luck, especially at the start. Now, obviously, when you get to know children,
when
the friendships, as they get older, when the friendships develop, become real proper friendships, then that's different. But at the start, especially with the 5, 6, 7 year olds, it's all it's in and out, 2 hours, maybe 3 hours maximum, and Let them play with the dolls or let them play with the football in the yard.
Funny that. Here's an interesting one. Listener here says, many years ago, I had a request from a girl over on a play date to play on her own in my daughter's room. Needless to say, I never asked the child back again. Another listener says, now, I very rarely allow playmates. They're so stressful that my husband and I actually turn on each other when the child eventually leaves. I often find the parents who push for the playdates also find their own child difficult. We had 1 9-year-old boy over to play with my son. He was so difficult, we couldn't keep him happy at all. My kids couldn't wait for him to leave. And when his dad arrived, the child said to him, Oren was hard work. My poor son had bent over backwards all day to keep him happy. You should have seen my son's face. He nearly dropped, says this listener. Tuesday is on the line as well. You run summer camps, is that right? Like, tell us your experience of the politics of playdates, Tuesday.
Yeah, so I do have a few playdates here with my own child, but I do summer camps as well. So it's more kind of like big groups of stuff. So I would always tell the parents, though, I think it's the right thing to do for them to know the kind of behaviour that their child is doing in a different place. There's ways of like saying to the mother as well or the father, you know, you don't have to be like accusing them, or you don't have to be, you know, like you don't have to say how big of a deal it was, but you can say like, I'm not too sure if so-and-so had a good time, you know, because they did this, this, and this. And you can always say like, oh, but next time we can try it again to see if things are a bit better. But I think it is really important that they do know the way their child is behaving.
So you think to tell the parents, find a polite way to bring up the conversation. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's, I didn't realise these were so stressful.
Yeah. Yeah, they can be. But like, you don't have to think about it too much either. You know what I mean? Like, it's so great for the kids. They're learning so many skills. You know, they're learning how to entertain. They're learning how to like come up with like, you know, discussions and figure out the right and the wrong way of doing things. So it is really important for the kid to have play days as well. But I wouldn't be too worried about it too much.
The idea though, look, a lot of listeners suggesting that really when play dates, particularly I suppose in the younger maybe age bracket, I know our initial listener was talking about a 9-year-old, but you know, would you tend to organise them or suggest people organise them with the other parents or without?
Well, without, like some another caller has said, you know, if you, like, someone goes to their house for play date, they come to your house. But it is kind of giving you much bit of a break as well. So I would, yeah, not go with the parents. Leave the parents at home and just send the kid off.
Mm. It's probably, you know, giving the child a little bit of independence too, though, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. They need to learn how to behave in a different setting and a different environment. So it's still learning for them all, and it's learning for the parent as well. And
listener says, while I think it's probably the natural instinct to avoid these children, if a kid needs to improve their behavioural skills, then isolating them from social situations probably isn't a good idea. Another listener says, does the passive aggressive treatment of badly behaved kids not enable the creation of little bullies? This texter says, people who say, oh, I wouldn't tell the parents. Yes, you should. Honesty, there's honestly nothing wrong with being honest. The hiding behind the hedges, I think, is absolutely ridiculous. Another listener again, yeah, suggesting just don't ask people to your house, meet them in other places. I suppose this particular time of the year, Katie, is kind of prime time, isn't it, for play dates? Katie's still there. We lost Katie. No, we'll try and maybe get Katie back. The email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.